Back to the Conservative Commandos, the radio show, the television show. We've got, of course, the AUN TV network, which we're grateful for. We've got the Conservative Commandos radio network all across this great nation. But never fear, because if you're not near one of the many broadcast towers that carries our signal, Al Gore's amazing internet comes to the rescue. We truly are everywhere. Maybe not in China or North Korea or Iran, but everywhere where the idea that speech matters, we're there. And even some places where they don't even agree with that. But bottom line is, we're glad you're here. This is the place to be. I'm George Landreth, of course, and I am with Sharon Engel. We're your co-host today. And Sharon, we have a great guest coming up, and I'm going to leave the honor of introducing him to you. But I do want to remind our viewers and listeners, if they've missed any portion of the show, they can get a rebroadcast at our website, ccrshow.com.
Well, it's always my pleasure to introduce our longtime friend, Tim Bryce, who is a freelance writer residing in Tampa Bay, in Florida. He's an avid writer and speaker discussing everything from business and management to politics and morality to systems and technology in our ever-changing world. In addition to his columns and blog entitled The Bryce is Right, which is read by thousands of people worldwide, Tim also has been published in a wide range of publications from the Washington Times to the Huffington Post. He also has a new book out, Before You Vote, Know How Your Government Works, What American Youth Should Know About Government. Tim, welcome back to the Conservative Commandos radio show.
Sharon, it's always good to be with you folks.
Well, it's great to have you here. Hold up that book again. I'm going to suggest that you'll need to write a sequel to that.
Oh, yeah.
After what's happened these last few weeks, I'm not sure that our government actually works the way that our founders intended it to.
From a writer's point of view, this is great fodder. You know, it gives us a lot to talk about, you know.
Well, your next book may have to be If You Vote, or If Your Vote Counts, Know How Your Government Might Work Against You, right? Holy cow, what a deal we've had this last month and a half since the election. And you wrote an article on Saturday entitled Stop the Steal, where you discuss what happened last week in the Capitol when a million people went to listen to the president speak. It was another rally. I've been to many of those here in the Nevada. I know you've been to many in Florida. In fact, you followed the campaign and attended the rallies. It didn't seem like it was much different than any of the rallies I had attended, and yet it ended up in a way different way, and I was confused at what was going on. So maybe you have a little clearer picture of what really happened at the rally.
Well, I was lucky to have an inside source. I had a couple who are old friends going back to my days in Cincinnati, and Steve and Marge. They're from Virginia. They're professional people. They're retired. And they've been very articulate in terms of following everything. I mean, they both watched all of the state reviews of the election stuff. I mean, very knowledgeable about what's going on. And they went to the Stop the Steal protest, and they were having a great time. Met a lot of people in their late 60s. A lot of people liked them. A lot of older people was the profile from what I heard from them. I said there were some young people there, but they looked like they didn't fit in at all. And they said smelled a lot of pot with these guys. They're smoking. And these were the ones really that was going on up to the barricades and starting to fight with the police. 99.99% of the people, they said, were just regular Joes that were out there. It says they met people from all walks of life, all different ethnicity, and just everybody was having a great time. They enjoyed the Trump speech. They were not incited to riot by that in any stretch of the imagination. They walked up to the Capitol. They did their thing, and then they went home. It was cold. That's a very cold day, they told me. So they get home, and they turn on the television, and they just can't believe what they're hearing from the press. He says, this is not the same protest that we went to, and now they're calling it riots. And then we hear Joe Biden call them a domestic terrorist, and I go, domestic terrorists? You got to be kidding me. So it was very interesting to listen to him. We talked on and on for quite some time about all of this thing, and they were just appalled. They kept saying when they approached Capitol, that one of the first questions he said, where's the police? They didn't find any police around there. You need to think, you know, when you have the Congress in there voting on the electoral votes, that you'd have cops, some sort of security around there. But there's a total absence of security. So it seemed, you know, very strange to them, you know, as to what happened out of that. And it's very disconcerting. I mean, these were people who were very knowledgeable and very sincere, hardworking, patriotic taxpayers. And I really resent them being depicted as domestic terrorists. And, you know, the media has made a big thing out of this thing, and the Democrats went after him, thinking this is a great way to kick Donald Trump to the curb, you know, and stop him from running again. But I don't think the American people are getting the straight scoop with these people. You know, I mean, it's very disconcerting, you know, about what the media has done. This is tyranny, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we haven't been getting this great straight scoop since before November the 3rd. It seems like we could see the problems with the election just looming. And then they started bringing in those reports on the 3rd, and George and I and the rest of the commandos were here. We were just doing a little wrap up on the election, and all of a sudden the whole thing's shut down. George and I have both run for office, so as Nassar, we've never seen anything like it. We, you know, they count the votes. You count the votes come in, you stay up all night until the votes come in if it's close. And then you, as a good soldier, you call your opponent if you've lost and you say, congratulations. It was the hardest phone call I ever made, was to call Harry Reid and say congratulations, because I knew the steel was in then in 2010. But it's interesting to me that through all of this, it's like everyone's ignoring what has happened to this election. And not only that, but they're making it up as they go. It seems like they made this up. And I've been to the Capitol many times. Lots of security, lots of metal detectors. How did those people even get in there?
Exactly. And the other thing that gets me, we expect this kind of behavior from the Democrats and the press. We understand that. But then to see the Republicans turn tail and run, wow, that made a big difference. We've got some serious movement. Republicans have a big problem now. In Pinellas County alone, right here, it's been reported just in the last couple of days, 450 people have switched from Republican to independent. And more on the way. We're also hearing much more about people wanting to start a new party and get going on that. And it seems very legitimate. I think it's going to happen. But it's all because the Republicans are run scared. And to see them turn coat on Trump. I mean, I read the speech. I listened to the speech. I published it on my website and so on. And I could read nothing in there that would say we're going to be inciting a riot. And now you have people like Nancy Pelosi. Well, we have to impeach him for inciting a riot. He didn't incite a riot. Show me. Show me. And that's it. Again, the people didn't take the time to hear it, read it, or anything like that. They're taking their word. So I would love to see it go to impeachment and see how they try to prove where was the inciting of rioting in here. And I resent the idea that it's called a riot. My Tampa Bay Buccaneers football, NFL football, played the Washington Redskins this last Saturday. And it was interesting. The announcer was saying, oh, here's a picture of the Capitol, and this is where all the riots took place earlier this week, like that. And I'm going, yeah, on a sports channel, you're talking about this? I mean, this is incestuous. This is terrible. I mean, what's happening out here? The press has got to be stopped. And then to come on out and see Twitter and the social media and all of this stuff being shut down. What was it? Parler today shut down. And I'm going, what in the world is going on? Now, if you can do censorship over social media, you know, the next step's going to be talk radio. Shows like this, Conservative Commandos, and people that are on local channels, that's next. Because, you know, the Democrats hate conservative talk radio.
Well, it's amazing to me. It's stunning and shocking what's going on in this country. And that we really... Where do we go from here, Tim Bryce? I guess that's, you know, we've got another article. I know you're going to be talking more about this with George. You thank the president for all he did in the last 4 years and was able to do without congressional help. And you mentioned the Republicans were very reluctant to support him even through it, but they didn't actually bail out until here recently, I saw Lindsey Graham. You know, we always kind of wondered about Lindsey. He's never been the stalwart conservative, but, you know, he was carrying the Trump colors there for so long. Well, now he's shown that was just for the last 4 years. He's the guy that you always knew. Mitch McConnell, another one, we always knew. I asked for his resignation several times in the last 10 years just because you know these guys. Mitt Romney, my own congressman, Mark Amaday. But where do we go from here? If we can't get a fair and honest election, where do we go from here?
We need electoral reform badly. This whole idea of running for 2 years is preposterous. Who is the only entities that really profit by such a large campaign, long campaign out there? It's the media. They feed on this thing. It's like $11 billion they got out of that campaign. I hate to think what they spent in Georgia. I heard Georgia was the most expensive runoff campaign that ever happened. If we did like a lot of other countries do, and, you know, give us a 90-day window, go do that. You know, we have to do something more intelligent. Or say for every dollar you want to spend with the media, you have to put a dollar into a special fund for infrastructure. You know, I mean, that would really curb the media. Media lives off of politics. Media lives off of intrigue. I learned that big time when I was traveling with the press corps. None of these guys are interested in telling the truth. And you've heard me talk about this before. I was with the printed press, you know, the one that Trump's always pointing in the back, and he's going, oh, those guys back there are bad. Well, I was behind them in the printed area. And all of these columnists had their copy done before President Trump took the stage.
Did they have the copy done before
he
took the stage and before the people went to the Capitol? I mean, it looks that way. We are talking with our good friend Tim Bryce. He's a freelance writer residing in Tampa Bay. He has the blog, The Bryce is Right, a new book out, Before You Vote, Know How Your Government Works. And we've been talking about the Stop the Steal protest, as well as Thank You, President Trump. I'm Sharon Angle here with George Landreth, and we are coming to you from the Conservative Commandos Radio Network studios and around the world on the internet with TalkStream Live, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, NetTalk America, and AM/FM 24/7. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Conservative Commandos, the radio show, the television show, thanks to AUN TV Network, Conservative Commandos Radio Network. Of course, you've got Roku, you've got iHeartRadio, all kinds of... Al Gore was really nice to give us the internet, because now we have so many ways to reach our viewers and our listeners. But anyhow, I'm glad you're with us, that you've stuck around. We've got a great conversation going with Tim Bryce. And of course, I'm George Landreth, and she is Sharon Engel, and we're your co-hosts today. We're glad you're with us. There's so much to talk about. Do want to remind you, if you missed anything, check out our website, ccrshow.com. It's all there. You can get rebroadcast the whole nine yards. Tim, thanks for sticking through the break. We really appreciate it. Lots more to discuss here. I think you can pretty easily look at what you saw on Wednesday and say, yeah, I'm not comfortable with that. There was some law breaking going on there. And while the vast majority of the, I don't know if it was 500,000 or 600,000 or whatever the number was, 500,000, 750,000, I don't know. I'm not good at counting from a picture. I just know it was a big crowd. Obviously, 99% of them were peaceful. And my sister was there. And she was actually at the Capitol. And she looked at all that and was like, this is not cool. This is not, you know. So you can, on the one hand, say, I'm not happy with what I saw. But at the same time, this rush to blame and make it clear that, oh, it must have been something Trump said that triggered this. It's all his fault. One, in a previous interview, we talked about kind of what words mean. And read his speech. He didn't tell anyone, Martin. In fact, he actually told people to be peaceful and thank them for being peaceful. But I think a lot of this is an attempt to get Americans to forget all the good things that Donald Trump did and to focus only on the things they didn't like about Donald Trump. And I didn't always agree with every tweet he did. I didn't always agree with how he said things. I can give you a long list of things I thought, yeah, that wasn't really said very well. But to be honest, none of it was ever an incitement to anything. It was just sometimes, in my view, a little inarticulate or imprecise. But the reality is, if you look at his actual policies, they were very, very productive, helpful policies. We have a lot to be thankful for during the 4 years of Donald Trump. And yet, I think they want us to forget that. So if I could, let me ask you to kind of help us go through and look at maybe why they want us to forget all the things he actually did and instead try to pretend that he was inciting riots.
Well, I wrote this article coming out tomorrow called Thank You, President Trump. It's a similar to a piece I wrote at the end of George W. Bush's term, Thank You, President Bush. And I itemized what did he accomplish and so on. Because keep in mind, when Bush's term was coming on over, I mean, he was the devil personified by the Democrats. He was terrible. Yeah. The worst president of all time.
They called him Hitlerian at times. That's why I find it funny when people tell me that, you know, well, this guy's really bad. He's not like George Bush. We liked him. I'm like, really?
Oh, you liked him?
Because you sure didn't sound like
it. I also insist that, and remember, we started off with 16 Republican candidates going into this thing, and Donald Trump won it. I contend that it had been any other Republican had gotten it, they would have gotten the same treatment. The one thing they didn't expect is Trump pushed back.
Well, and even Mitt Romney, who's been a huge, huge disappointment. Think about how they treated Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney hated dogs. He had binders of women. It was just this crazy, you know. And of course, Joe Biden, the great uniter, told us that Mitt Romney wanted to lock up black people and put them back in chains.
Yeah, so
it doesn't really matter who you are. If you have an R next to your name, you're evil.
Well, and again, that's why I wrote this, because the American people have a short attention span for some reason or other. They forget history conveniently. I mean, heck, they don't even teach the Civil War in high school anymore. Anyway, I wrote a thing talking about what he accomplished, and some of his biggest things is what he did in the Middle East, like brokering all of these peace treaties with Bahrain, the UAE, and the Sudan. And, you know, that alone is worthy of a Nobel Peace Prize, much more than Barack Obama ever did. But he also moved the American embassy, which a lot of presidents wanted to do, said they were going to do it, never did it. He got rid of the ISIS terrorists. He introduced the U.S. Space Force, which I think is going to be a very strategic thing for our military in the years ahead. Reinvigorated the American military. They're now proud to be soldiers again. And you develop new and stronger American trade deals, USMC as an example, what there's going on with China, what he's doing with Japan, India, yada, 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 so on. Much more proactive than what we've had with the Democrats in the past. And the economy was great. We got hit with coronavirus and so on, and he did come on up with a virus, a vaccine. I find it funny. They're now starting to call it the Biden vaccine.
And they also, when he said that we were going to have one shortly after the election, they all said he was a liar, that he was preaching falsehoods in an attempt to save his presidency. And guess what happens? Right after the election, boom, what do we have? Vaccine. No apologies. Now you're right. They're calling it the Biden vaccine.
But if you look past all of this thing, you know, Biden vaccine, give me a break. Anyway, the other things he has accomplished is he made us feel good about America again, that America is a great place. People started to have pride. The economy was cooking. Minorities were working. The government was, he stripped through the bureaucracy, and all of which is going to be returned, you know, in the next 100 days by Biden. Anyway, he revealed the corruption and diabolical evil in the Capitol. I mean, it's terrible. But he really showed the inequities of the party system. And I really think a third party, a legitimate third party, is going to emerge after all of this thing. And I think you're going to see a lot of Democrats, moderate Democrats, or right-wing, if you can believe that, Democrats, all join this new party. Because as far as I'm concerned, the Republican Party is nothing but moderates and rhinos, if anything, pure politicians. Now, I've been a Republican since 1972. And I'm just, this really broke a lot of strings. And I've got a lot of friends who are breaking with the Republican Party, too. One was president of a local Republican club down here. She just went on in and she says, I can't do this anymore, folks. After what I've seen with the Republicans, that's it. So Republicans should be in damage control big time, because it's all going to change. This is all going to come back to haunt them. The people don't trust that. We need electoral reform. Now, how do you get electoral reform? You're not going to get it from the Congress, right? Let's have a constitutional convention. We haven't had one of those in like about 200 some odd years, you know, but that's what we really need to go on through and clean this type of stuff up. Anytime you threaten to do a constitutional convention, people from the Senate and the House will come, don't do that. We'll take care of this. We'll take care of this. And they all backpedal. You know, this has happened numerous times over the years. No, it's time for a constitutional convention and change the way we're doing things, because we've got to do something about lobbyists. We got to take the money out of the formula. And if you this is going way back. If you remember when you joined Congress in the early days in the 1700s, you were only there for one term. And then, you know, you wanted to go back to your plantation or farm and, you know, work that, and somebody else would come in and take your term. We got career politicians. I don't remember where politicians should be a full-time job. That's what we've got.
Yeah, it's a career now, unfortunately.
It's a career, and it's scary. Yeah.
And you didn't see that much in the beginning. Right. You know, it wasn't a career. It was something you did to serve your community, and then you went home.
Well, this whole thing about the swamp, I started learning about the swamp back in about 2013. There was a book written called My Town. It was done by a journalist, I think, for the New Yorker magazine. Look it up if you can. A great book, really opened my eyes. This is, they were talking about during the recession under George Bush coming out. He said, what was the only city that was making money? Washington, D.C., which is very true. And then he started to talk about the incestuous relationship between the lobbyists, the journalists, the parties, and all that kind of stuff. So here you get an outsider like Donald Trump come on in. He's going to upset the guy. He's upsetting their moneymaker. And that's why they want him out of there so bad, because he has upset the apple cart. And I'm sorry, this apple cart needs to be kicked over.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's the truth. It's in Washington, so much is determined by, you know, where, follow the money. That's what I think Deep Throat told Woodward and Bernstein, follow the money. Good advice, actually. It explains a lot of what's happening in Washington now. But we are up against the clock, Tim. So what I want to ask you to do is tell folks how they can follow your work. How can they get involved with all things, Tim? They can almost inside your head, so to speak.
Well, they can find me anywhere on the internet. Just do a search on Tim Bryce, B-R-Y-C-E. My main blog is timbryce.com. I'm very easy to find. I'm very easy, but I mean, you do a search, you can't help but find me. I'm on all social media for now.
For the time being.
So, yes, you can plug into me. I'm on YouTube. You know, I make audio versions of my articles as well. I've got another one coming on up, which I'm working on right now, the first 100 days of Joe Biden. It's kind of scary. They're not going to go after his taxes, the Trump tax cuts, immediately, but they do plan on raising the corporate tax from 21% to 28%. And then now, here we go. We're going to start driving companies away again.
Yeah, anyway. And the funny thing is the companies won't actually pay that tax. We'll end up paying it because it'll just be passed along in terms of cost. But
But
we are up against the break. So thanks, Tim, for spending some time with Sharon and I. We've really enjoyed it. I just want to remind our viewers and listeners, this is the Conservative Commandos, and we're glad you spent this time with us. But don't go away, because we will be right back. But in the meantime, if you missed any portion of the show and you want to get a rebroadcast, ccrshow.com is the place to go.